Jeff Sheen, Eric Mott. We have a guest. I'm very excited. We've been planning on having you on, hoping you do it since we started the podcast. Noah Garden-Schwartz.
How are you? You sound a little bit hesitant to say that last name. Like, yeah. you weren't sure if it was Schwartz or Schwartz, but you went with the right one.
You did zero research for this, didn't you?
No, I nailed it. I nailed it. Schwartz, no Schwartz.
Yeah, minus the pause. You pronounced it perfectly.
Yeah, I really, you know.
I was also sweating. I didn't know.
Yeah. I was going to walk out, too.
Thank you. You're a very funny comedian. You have a half hour on Comedy Central, on Conan. You have a CD out, all kinds of good stuff.
Yeah.
So thanks for doing the podcast. You have a finance background, so you're like the most qualified comedy, most qualified finance. No pressure, like I said. But
yeah, what is your finance background?
Personally, professionally, I used to day trade for a hedge fund years ago, but my father is an accountant and a financial planner, and I grew up paying attention to the stock market on my own. So,
oh, you're in.
That's great.
Yeah, I mean, I have a little bit of my own professional background in the time I worked for the hedge fund, but aside from that, I just grew up in a household that, you know, like spoke the financial language,
right,
if you will.
Oh yeah.
I feel like my parents taught me like to like make sure you pay your, like, have a good credit. It's important to have good credit. Like, they taught me some stuff, but as far as stock market, nobody. My dad, I think, traded in the stock market for a long time, but he never taught me anything about it. And I was telling him about this podcast, and he was like, "Oh yeah, I've been doing that for years." It's like, "Oh great."
Yeah, it was one of those things. Like, my dad grew up super poor and never learned any of that from anyone. So once he learned it, he realized how important it was to pass down that information if he could. So
I also feel like your parents might have tried to teach you that, but you know how, like, there's many times like you're like, "Oh, Dad, you never tried to teach me that." And he'd be like, "I did several times, and you weren't interested at all." So it's a possibility that he wanted to talk to you about it. But
well, and I told you about this before too. We listened. You were on another podcast where you talked about this. But the guy that you learned a technique of investing, right, from some super just rich guy.
Well, so that was when I day traded at the hedge fund.
Yeah, that's very interesting to me.
And one thing I'd like to make clear is there's a huge difference between investing and trading. They're pretty much opposite tactics. You know, investing is you're in it for the long term.
Right.
And trading is for the here and now, very short term. I'm not an investor. I'm a trader. So when people ask me for advice on stocks, I'm never talking about where a stock is going to be 2 years from now, 10 years from now, planning for your future. I'm talking about, like, this is the stock I think is great for next week, for tomorrow, for a month from now.
So trying to buy, like, the classic buy the dip and then
I have absolutely no interest in picking a stock for the future based on the volatility of our world and how quickly everything changes in business and the globe. So,
well, what type of stocks then would you look for? Is it like pharmaceuticals are the ones that jump the most, or it just depends?
I'm game to pay attention to anything. You know, like, I won't limit the stocks that I'll pay attention to. I personally like the high volatility stocks. Like, most of my own trading, I swing for the fences, where most of the time I'm either going to hit huge home runs or strike out altogether. So I play in a lot of the penny stocks, a lot of the weed stocks. Sometimes I'll trade actual volatility, like on the VIX.
You can trade volatility?
Yeah.
Wait, how does that work?
We're going to have to look all this up.
I don't know. I didn't know you could
You've been doing that your whole life, is trying to trade volatility.
You can take both sides of it. You can buy volatility or you can buy stability. For the last 5 years, the market's been doing nothing but going up, up, up. So, like, buying volatility has been nothing but losing money. But there's a stock, you know, VIX, the VIX, is what measures volatility. And so, basically, it runs opposite of the market. It's supposed to. It's not like a perfect relationship. But in general, if you're buying volatility, you're guessing that the market is going to go down.
So is that like playing the line in craps?
Yeah, well, it would be like playing the don't pass.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh,
buying
VIX.
Volatility would be like playing the don't pass on the market.
Huh.
Correct.
Is the VIX a company?
No, the VIX is the volatility index.
It's Vapor Rub.
Okay.
Yeah, that's what we're talking about.
It's VIX Vapor Rub?
and then what gets so crazy, there are things like, there's a stock called UVXY, which is double the VIX, meaning that it's like doubling down on your bet against the market.
No.
So you just blew my mind right now. There's like a whole underworld I didn't even know about.
It's a casino.
Yeah, but exactly. These are stocks that are for traders because you're reading the chart.
Yeah.
It's not like you can't. No one could tell you what the VIX is going to do in 5 years.
Well, you don't want to go long on the VIX?
This guy's been lying to my face.
Yeah.
Okay. Wow. That's cool. So volatility. So you're trying to buy in on dips and trying to kind of read trends early and get in and get out.
Yeah. I try to pay attention. I do what's called technical analysis, which is reading the charts. So I don't care about a company's financials. I care about what the chart looks like based on. I trade human emotion. You know, I look for when the masses of people look to buy and the masses of people look to sell. And in most things, I found that it's good to go against the grain.
Yeah.
Like, if you hear about a stock that everyone's talking about on the street, like Bitcoin, when everyone starts talking about Bitcoin, when your grandma in Oklahoma starts talking about Bitcoin, Bitcoin is done.
Right.
By the time everyone has heard about it, there's no point in buying.
Absolutely. Yeah.
First, I want to know when she moved to Oklahoma.
So, I mean, I try to do my research and get in before things happen. But a lot of times in doing that, I wear it in the face. You know, sometimes I get in too early.
Sometimes you're wrong.
And my money's just gone.
I love that. Yeah. We talked about that a couple of episodes back about how it's like when I, because I watched The Big Short for the first time. And it's like the feeling of being able to be like, I'm in on this and nobody knows about this. And we're about to make some money because we know. That's so cool.
I could be wrong. One of your first episodes was Joel talking about the lithium stuff, right?
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
I told him to get into that lithium stuff.
Yeah.
And it's been horrible for a year and a half, and I've just kept on buying in and buying in to average my cost. Like, as the stock goes lower, I buy more and buy more and buy more because I believed in the product they were actually moving towards.
Uh-huh.
And just in the last week, it shot up, and now it's doing great.
Yeah.
Oh, no way. And you got this from a chart.
Huh?
You got this from the charts.
Yeah, well, so this is one of the it's funny that, like, I was talking about how I just read charts and don't play the long game, but then this is one of the very few stocks that I stuck around for the long game. Mm-hmm. I got in originally because of the chart.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then what happened was it was originally a weed stock, and I was reading the charts as a weed stock.
Okay.
And their business model, I mean, this, I don't know how deep you want me to get into, like, the story of this stock.
I'm interested.
Okay. So I primarily like to trade the wheat stocks because they are very volatile. They go up and down in huge swings based on what's happening. Like, the wheat stocks since January 1st this year have been up huge because it went recreationally legal in California.
Mm.
So anytime there's a major event in the weed world, that moves the wheat stocks, and people like to jump in because they're typically penny stocks, which means that you can buy a lot of shares for really cheap.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So this was in 2014 when wheat stocks originally became a huge thing when Colorado legalized it. This was a Canadian stock that was trying to get a license from the Canadian government to grow medicinal marijuana for the entire country. They were originally an oil and gas stock who just happened to own a lot of land, and they tried to get in the weed game to try to use some of their land to grow weed. So they were basically trying to transition from being an oil and gas stock to a weed stock, which required them getting a license from the Canadian government.
They went to green energy.
And so that's when I bought in. They didn't get the license, and of course the stock tanked because everyone was getting in there hoping it would be a successful weed stock. Once they didn't get the license, their entire business plan was shot.
Right.
So they ended up going back to their roots and got back into the oil and gas game, and they ended up finding some land in Nevada that was sitting on lithium deposits.
Oh.
And so I just happened to own a shit ton of this stock that was now suddenly investing in something completely different than I ever planned on being invested in. But because my money was there and it was already so low, there was no point in, like, me selling because it was down to 2 cents a share.
Mm-hmm. So they went out one day and they were like, oh, we're a lithium business now.
Right. And so I actually started reading up on lithium and started actually researching what was happening. And basically, lithium is one of the most sought after elements because battery grade lithium will be what's inside of the batteries that fuel electric vehicles.
Yes.
Yeah. So, like, you guys were talking about Elon Musk and Tesla.
Yeah.
If electric vehicles become the thing, they're going to be running off of lithium batteries.
Yeah.
And so now this stock basically has gone up huge in the last week or two as people are catching wind of how hot lithium is, but more specifically because they are trying to develop a new technology to extract lithium. And if the technology that they're currently working on developing successfully extracts lithium, it's literally a game changer in the industry. The way that they're extracting lithium will be so much more cost effective than anything else that's out there that this is one of those rare, like, generational home runs I could theoretically hit, where if in 2 months it comes out that their tests prove that their method is no better than anyone else's, the stock's going to go back to zero and I'll lose all my money. But if it's successful, this could be what was a 2 cent stock that goes to literally a dollar, and I could 50 times my money.
Ooh.
Oh, shit.
So it's like
all of a fluke.
That might be one of the hottest.
From a weed fluke.
The hottest hold my bread tips in our podcast history. That's like lithium. That's because Joel's talked about it. I've heard a little bit about it here and there, and you called it. I mean, like, it sounds like a long time ago.
So those are the, that's what I'm saying, is like those are the kind of stocks that I spend a lot of my energy on is like stocks that no one is really paying attention to.
Yeah, the pennies.
Yeah.
What can you get into lithium at now? Do you know roughly?
Well, there's a few different my lithium stock in particular. It's called ENRT. And again, just to be clear, I'm not suggesting anyone buy or sell it. I'm just saying that's the one that I'm in. It closed today at 8.5 cents.
Ooh.
So if were to buy in tomorrow, I'm guessing tomorrow it'll trade between 8 and 9 cents.
Right. So you can buy a bunch for like a couple bucks. See what happens.
Why is it because of the inherent risk that it's still so low? Like if you know about this, other people obviously know about it. Why aren't more people jumping in and it's...
Well, because more people started jumping in, that's what brought it from 3 cents to 8 cents in the matter of a week.
Yeah, I guess that's true. That's still a jump.
But again, it's like when you're talking about most of the big money that moves stocks is institutional money, like hedge funds who are actually responsible for clients. And so no one is going to risk their client and their hedge fund's money on a penny stock from Canada. You know, those people actually need safe returns. That's where they go into McDonald's and Johnson and Coca-Cola, stocks that pay dividends and don't have these violent swings because, like I said, this stock could just as easily shoot to zero. Yeah. I can afford to do that because I'm playing with my money. As a hedge fund, you can't afford to do that because you'll be out of business.
Sure. So what happens if a hedge fund, if they did this and they lost just all that money, are they just fucking screwed? I mean, what happens?
Well, yeah, I mean, if you lose all the money, then the money's gone and your hedge fund closes.
That's it, though? Like, in the people you manage, you have to just be like, sorry.
Yeah, I mean, people know when they turn their money over to a fund that worst case scenario is they lose their money. But the whole point of giving your money to a hedge fund is you have professionals who know not to take the kind of risk like investing in a penny lithium stock.
That's why none of these, they're not touching Bitcoin. None of these places are letting anyone invest in Bitcoin or any of those cryptocurrencies.
Exactly, yeah. That's the thing. Hedge funds invest. We're talking about people who invest people's money. I'm trading.
Right.
So obviously cryptocurrency is very volatile. Where do you stand on that? Now that it's taken these huge dips, is that when you jump in or you've already jumped in?
Well, so I'm in cryptocurrencies a little bit, and that's literally just from a FOMO perspective. Like, I just want to have a little skin in the game to pay attention for entertainment's sake. But anyone who tells you they know definitively that cryptocurrencies are the wave of the future, that they're going to fail, is full of shit. Either way, cryptocurrencies couldn't be more of a blind gamble than there is in the market. It could become the new standard currency and go to a million.
No way.
It could be regulated and go to zero, and no one knows. And there's not enough of a historical basis. Like I said, I try to do technical analysis and read charts. There's not enough of a reliable history on the charts for me to actually gauge where there's support and resistance.
Yeah, it's like
of when I should be buying and selling.
With stock stuff, there's just so much history of all the stuff you can look in this. But Bitcoin and all this stuff is so new, it's like uncharted territory,
There's nothing to gauge the price action
against. Yeah. So, and it's so weird to me that, too, all these companies are having their own Bitcoin, and everyone's got their own. It's like...
Oh, Kodak Coin?
Yeah, Kodak Coin and, like, all these other companies or whatever come up with their own coins. It's just so, like...
Yeah, I mean, I would say if you want to get into cryptocurrencies... Don't put in any more money than you're willing to completely lose all of.
Yeah, there you go. That's kind of what I told myself. As soon as I started doing any stock stuff, I was like, all right, well, any money I'm putting out here, I have to be willing to lose.
Sure.
So, and it's like the same thing I learned about. We talked about this on the last episode about how, like, you just bag holding a stock, you know, just like keeping it forever. I have to just get better about cutting, you know, cut your losses and lose $4 or $5 and get your money out of there.
Yeah. I got a bunch of a diet pill that I accidentally bought.
A diet pill? What was it?
Orxygen?
Orxygen. I'll never forget. Yeah.
Well, you know, there are different approaches. Like, if you're going to buy a reliable stock, like, if you're into it as an investor, then you will drive yourself crazy paying attention to it every day. If you're really buying a stock because you believe in 5 years, that stock is still going to be doing great. If you bought Apple or Google or, like I said, a Johnson & Johnson, just your basic movers, then there is no point in checking in day in, day out because you're not going to sell it if it goes down. You're not going to, buy more. It's like you're in it for the long haul.
I bought Tesla stock. That's the first stock I bought. I try not to look at it anymore because it doesn't make me feel anything.
Exactly. If you're buying a stock because you truly believe in its future, then you just need to trust its future.
Yeah.
And, check it every few months to make sure.
It's like my mom raising me,
Yeah. Exactly.
Well, it's funny because you were talking about that, your Orxygen thing. I bought a stock that, again, I got this on Reddit, and these guys were like, you should buy it. It's going
to
be big.
Yeah, I would just like to say, walking into the podcast, I asked Matt, do any of you guys have a financial background? And he was like, no, but I'm trying to learn more about it. So I said, where have you been learning? And he said, Reddit. Yeah. And I was like, "That's who has ever educated themselves well off of Reddit for any subject? That's...
I mean,
there's so many free resources online to legitimately learn about finance, and he's learning from Reddit.
Well, and also the advice that you share, because we're in like a group text message to talk about the podcast. Would you share some of those forums? Like the advice you get comes like you should invest in this unless you're a homo. Like that's pretty much.
I told him. I was like, look, I mean, I learned some stuff, and then it's also people just telling me I should kill myself. So.
Yeah.
I'd take it for a grain of salt, but...
Yeah, Warren Buffett never suggests suicide in his memos to his clients.
Hey, you know, that's true. And he has $88 billion, I think, or something.
That's right.
Insane.
And he's stepping down.
Eats the same breakfast every day at McDonald's.
That's crazy. Yeah,
Just like our president.
I watched a documentary where there are like two or three options that he'll choose from. And when he wakes up and the market is down, he'll buy the cheaper option. Because he doesn't want to splurge like... the 42 extra cents on a McDonald's breakfast when the market is down. Yeah.
I mean, what's the point of being rich if that's how you live?
Well, he's autistic.
Warren
like,
is?
Yeah. I mean, I don't think that's out there, but if you ever watch him, if you watch a documentary or listen to him speak, there's no way he's not on the spectrum in some way.
I guess it makes sense. The numbers billionaire guy?
Yeah, he's... I mean, he's obviously a genius and he's brilliant, but he's not a normal person.
Yeah, he's penny pinching, and he's got billions.
Yeah, and then you compare him to someone like you who doesn't have billions.
I'm like, buy a bunch of Rite Aid, see what happens.
All that scarf money.
It's Calvin Klein.
That's designer.
Oh,
can you invest in Calvin Klein? Do they have stock?
I think, yeah,
I'm sure they're publicly traded.
Fancy retailers are supposed to go up after this tax break because all the rich people are getting money back. I read it somewhere.
Reddit?
The high-end retailers?
Did you read it on Reddit?
I think I was on Reddit.
I bought stock in a company that specializes in a pill for IBS, and they're really, no pun intended, shitting on me.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's not good? Because that's actually something that would interest me. Like, that sounds like a practical pill.
That's what I thought. But
And more people are getting sick off of the horrible food we eat all the time, so I would think that would be a good...
That was my thinking, but I bought in a couple... It was a couple months back, and I bought in at like... I mean, I'm... What is it? $22 in. I put 22 in, and it was a couple cents to buy it. So it was one of those things, like you said, where if it goes up a little bit, I make some money, but it's been down forever. I mean, I'm not going to sell it because...
So I get too easily bored by the thought of investing, but if I was going to invest for the next year or two, I would actually be looking into the alternative food names, like Tofutti Brands, the organic ETF. I would be looking towards the healthy food makers that are moving away from the generic processed foods. I'd be looking for the high-end, healthier foods, because I feel like people are moving more towards a plant-based diet and eliminating some of the bullshit from their diet.
That's a little bit of what we were talking about.
I think
about
in the next few years, those are going to move up big.
Yeah, last episode, we were talking a little bit about how candy companies and pretty much any company that makes unhealthy snacks are taking a dip while all the healthy food brands are rising. So
yeah, Hershey had a bad week, I believe, because people are buying less chocolate.
But it's still odd to me that the fast food restaurants seem to be going up or are still doing pretty well.
Yeah, McDonald's, I feel like they just keep going a little bit.
Well, because there's a certain element of guarantee. Like, there's always going to be enough people who can't afford to eat anything other than fast food. It's always interesting to stock, like, a running joke when I was at the fund, but it was true, is the recession-proof stocks are like cigarettes, alcohol, strip clubs. No matter how bad the economy gets, people are still going to want to get fucked up and see some tits.
You can invest in strip clubs?
Yeah. Rick's Cabaret.
Really?
Is
that something you invested in?
What, are they trading on the NASDAQ?
I believe, I could be wrong, but I believe their ticker is DICK or D.
Yeah. Wow. All right, let me look.
Good for them.
Do you want to dance? I'm on the board. I'm a shareholder.
Yeah, I'm a shareholder.
Yeah.
So you day trade. How long is a day trade? Is it just one day or can it last?
It's up to you. I mean,
like a month?
So when I was at the fund, we were trained to day trade. Like, we were micro day traders, meaning sometimes I would be in positions for literally 3 minutes.
Oh, like the real quick
flips.
Yeah,
like instead of buying 1,000 shares and hoping that it goes up a dollar mm-hmm. over the course of a month, right?
Yeah.
I would buy 300 shares and hope that it goes up 10 cents over and over and over and over and over. So I was
really?
Executing dozens to hundreds of trades a day, just looking for microscopic gains, because when you flip those over and over and over, yeah.
They didn't drive you insane?
No, I mean, it's fun. It's like addictive. It's if you're competitive and a gambler and, you know, easily stimulated, it's great. It's
Were you doing comedy at the same time as this?
No.
I was going to say, I would imagine that would be hard to focus on anything else besides the trade. Like, that sort of, like you said, it's addictive, that it would be hard to turn your brain off of that. You'd be thinking about that all the time.
Numbers. Yeah, that's ultimately why I got out of it, is because as fun as it was and as fascinating and interesting as it was, on days that I lost money, I just felt like shit all night and couldn't wait to try to make it up. And days that I made money, all I did was think about how much more money I could have made. It becomes like...
You're a gambling addict.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
Were you doing blow? Was there a lot of blow in this hedge fund?
No. I mean, I'm sure there were people doing it, but it wasn't Wolf of Wall Street. Like,
no?
No, we weren't like snorting lines off of hookers in between trades.
You never threw a midget? Tell me right now, you never threw one.
I never threw a midget.
All right.
But the fund did look to hire... like ex-college athletes and people who are A, competitive, and B, trained in making like split decisions under high pressure, because that's, as a day trader, you need to be able to make quick decisions and not buckle under pressure.
There's a comic, Jeff R. Curry, I don't know if you know him.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was telling me, he interviewed, I think, at a place, and he said they had people's goals on the wall, and they had all these charts on the wall to make people compete with each other. And
oh, yeah. So when they brought me in, they hired me with another guy at the same time. They brought us in to like tell us we both got the job, and they were like, by the way, in 6 months one of you guys won't be here.
Woo!
And it's, and the thing is, if you're making money for the fund, they're not gonna fire you. So of course both of us could still be there if we were both performing, but it was just like the mental game that
right.
they play to get you in that mood of like, I gotta make more money than the next guy.
Yeah.
Competitive masculinity.
That's very that's very interesting to me, because I'm not at all like that. I'm very not like that. You can tell I'm not like that. But I'm so into like fucking rich dudes cutting each other's throats to make my that's very fascinating to me.
It's fun to watch.
It's an interesting world to be a part of, for sure. But
I mean,
but it's not healthy.
No way.
I can tell you that. Honestly, comedy is more healthy than day trading, if
I was
that gives
say,
you any
that's
idea.
That's a weird thing to leave that profession, and you're like, I think about bad days all the time. Where comedy, you don't think about your bad sets over and over again.
Well,
that's
actually, oddly enough, being a day trader prepared me to deal with the highs and lows of comedy so much better than most other comedians, because it's like, this is actually a low adrenaline situation for me. Like going on stage and telling jokes, if it goes well, if it doesn't go well, is so much easier than dealing with a billionaire's money and possibly losing it.
Oh, yeah. Okay, the pressure is different.
Yeah.
When you went to your first open mic, where they're like, some of you aren't going to be here for months.
Wow, that's amazing. So you got how big is your portfolio? Like, do you have a bunch of different things you've held on to other than the lithium, or?
No, I have three names right now. I have a weed stock, and then right now I'm currently like day trading in and out of some of the casino stocks, MGM, Las Vegas Sands.
I did
like
just
that.
Look up that Rick's $30,
$30.20
for RCA Hospitality Holdings.
But I have, I'll pull it up on my Scottrade account. I have a watch list of about 20 stocks that I would say of the 20. Maybe 10 to 15 of them I actively trade, or at least pay attention to the charts, and then five of them I just use as an indication of what's going on in the market. Like, like there are always stocks that you can pay attention to that based on those stocks are significant enough to the market. Like if you follow Google, Apple, or Apple are up huge or down huge, the NASDAQ is going to be up huge or down huge because they make up such a huge percentage of those.
Facebook's probably one of them too, I would imagine.
Absolutely. Yeah. So it's like, there's a million different things that you can pay attention to that will affect stocks that you might be in just tangentially.
So when Facebook and Google is down, what do you see? When you see that, what does that make you think?
I mean, when I see that Facebook and Google are down, I just know that tech in general is probably having a bad day.
Okay, yeah.
I personally don't trade a lot of tech because, A, it doesn't interest me, and I don't have a competitive advantage. Like, I don't know the technology well enough to know, like, if there is news that moves a stock, I'm a Luddite. I'm not good with technology, so I don't understand how relevant that actually is to the industry.
Right. Okay.
Well, you're talking about news that moves the stock. I heard you do a joke at Hush Money recently where you were talking about the, you know, how we're so quick and reactionary with these news stories. It seems like every day there's a different business that has pissed off the general public with some sort of controversy. And then you use that as like an investment guide or a tool that you use to jump in on.
Yeah, my joke was that if you want to make quick money, you need to buy stock of a company that's like recently gotten bad press but still does what they've always done to be a successful company. So the key in that is, yeah, there's two types of news. There's like news where something fundamental has changed in the way a business operates, in which case you actually need to pay attention to that. Like if a stock stops doing something that led them to success, then don't buy that. But like, so for instance, the stock I talked about in that joke is United.
Mm-hmm.
When they kicked that doctor off the plane last year, their stock plummeted for like a week because people were so pissed off at the idea of them removing this doctor that like United was just getting all kinds of bad press and people were selling it. But a week later, the stock went right back to where it was because ultimately people are still going to fly United.
Ooh.
Right.
You know, so like that's where I was saying I trade off of human emotion.
H&M.
I was actually just about to look up H&M and see what's happened this week because I'd be willing to bet that their stock took a huge hit and I don't know if it's recovered.
Now, what do you think about something like Tide, the store that comes out all those
the Tide pods? I would say buy Tide. People are eating it and using it for their laundry.
Just consuming more Tide.
All we've done is increase the value by finding more uses for their product.
I like what you're thinking. This is great. Good
fit
here.
Did that just happen? Did people just start eating Tide?
I mean, I feel like I've been hearing about that for a while, but I think it's really come to a head these last couple days.
Huh.
Did you see, I saw somebody post on Twitter, it was like one of those special Oreo edition flavors, but it was Tide Pods.
Oh,
that's
my goodness.
It was
my
pretty good. all right, well then I have a selfish question to ask you. I bought stock, do you have a MoviePass?
I do.
I bought stock in the company that uses MoviePass, because I was like, this feels like a good thing, but it's been down, and it's going down.
Yeah,
and,
you know why?
Why?
Because people aren't going to movies anymore.
But I thought this would save the movies. I don't have people to go out again. I feel like, and I know so many people that have it. That's what really catches me off guard.
Yeah, but people have it because it makes going to the movies significantly cheaper.
Right, but aren't they making? I've heard like this is one of those companies that is making money by selling information to other companies, and maybe they're not. Maybe they're operating at a loss now. Maybe that's why. I don't know. I didn't know if you knew.
I don't know anything about the MoviePass company, but I would say that if their business model is about selling information to other companies, then you're not betting on the movies or the MoviePass. You're betting on the transfer of information, which is a totally different investment.
Right. Okay. I was just curious as to why. It just drives me crazy that it's down because I feel like so many people are buying the MoviePass. Everybody I know has it. Everyone's talking about it.
Well, not everybody, you know? Yeah, older people don't.
Maybe you're just talking about a small circle of people that you know.
Yeah.
But I'm not just me, but I keep seeing it online.
Yeah, I mean, you're talking
about
broke comics who are looking for a way to get into movies cheaper.
Right.
Yeah, maybe you're right.
But that's not the general public.
Yeah, you might be right about that.
Yeah.
We're actually a very small segment.
You're absolutely right, actually. Maybe you're right.
18 people. I know, 18 people.
Come on.
That's the other thing is like just because something is a good business, that doesn't mean it's a good stock.
Yeah,
different things. Like just because MoviePass is useful and you enjoy it and a lot of people that you know have it, mean that the company is being run correctly.
Right. Yeah.
Wait, you don't even have it?
No, I don't have it.
You're sitting here talking about everyone's talking about it and you didn't even buy it?
No, I'm not going to buy it. What am I, an idiot? Come on.
Well, there's your answer. I'm short in MoviePass.
You're wondering where your money's going.
There you go. That's something, you know, like Robinhood. Robinhood won't let me short any stocks. I don't know if I should be shorting stocks. I don't know if I'm smart enough to short stocks.
Yeah,
You shouldn't short stocks because that's an undefined risk.
When you
buy a stock, worst case scenario, it goes to zero. Because you've put in X amount of dollars. When you short a stock, ultimately you're going to have to put in money to cover the buy whenever you buy it back. And if that stock just keeps going up and up and up, you have no idea if you're even going to have enough money to cover your call.
That was like the first thing I learned when I was like starting to get involved. They were like, don't do it. You're going to ruin your life.
Don't short it. Shorting stocks is for the pros.
And
they don't get it right all the time. So
wait, what's shorting? I thought shorting was like day trading.
It's like betting against a stock.
Shorting a stock is agreeing to sell a stock at a certain price before you even own those shares. So like let's say MoviePass was $15, right? And you think it's going down.
Right.
You will short a stock by agreeing to sell someone 100 shares of MoviePass at $15, and then at some point in the future you have to buy it back. So you're saying that like MoviePass is going to go down to $10. So you would short it, assuming to make $5 on your sale when you buy it back. But if MoviePass then went up to $20, you would be responsible for buying it at $20 when you sold it at $15.
Oh, so you want it to go down if you short
it. Yes. When you short a stock, you're betting against it.
Okay. Yeah, I wouldn't do that.
But the risk isn't the risk isn't defined, because if it goes up, there's no telling how far it could go up. At what point? At a certain point, you have to buy it back.
Oof. No, that's too scary.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wouldn't do that.
There's certain companies that I look at and I'm like, oh, God, I bet I could. Snapchat?
You think it's short Snapchat?
I don't know. I'm just saying.
I would short Snapchat.
See, there you go.
You would short Snapchat?
Yeah. Short
there
Snapchat.
You go. See?
If I was going to short a stock, Snapchat would be on the
list. Yeah, see? There you go. I'm not going to do it, but that's just one of my thoughts with Snapchat.
Why would you short Snapchat? Are they shortable?
Yeah.
They got like a short vibe?
Yeah, what's their ticker? SNAP?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah?
Yeah?
I'm just.
How do you know the vibe?
If you're a brave man, you heard it from me who knows nothing and Noah who backed it up. So maybe think about shorting Snap.
You can just see it kind of trickling down. That's when you know?
Its value completely diminished once Instagram basically started offering every service that Snapchat does other than deletable Instant photos. But it's like.
So you're like, well, that's going to beat that company. I'm just going to short that company.
Yeah, I mean, Snapchat's technology basically got improved by Instagram. Instagram is owned by Facebook.
Right.
Facebook's
like
not going to lose out to Snapchat.
Yeah, but what about everyone Matt knows Snapchat? What about that? Did we take into account for that?
If there's a Snapchat MoviePass merger, then I'll reconsider
my
decision.
Now you're talking my language. Watch your movies through Snapchat. It's 30 seconds at a time.
All right, Backus, do you have any other stories that you wanted to bring up?
I don't know. We got a couple things in the news. I don't know if you guys want to...
What do you got the news?
Well, Saudi Arabia, we talked about this a couple episodes back. They allowed movie theaters back into... this is another reason I thought MoviePass would be good. Bring MoviePass to Saudi Arabia.
They just bring them back and you think people are going to bid? I guess, yeah, they wouldn't.
Unless you're talking about oil, I don't want to hear about Saudi Arabian investment.
Well, did you see Saudi Arabia? They made it legal to go see movies. The first movie they screened in Saudi Arabia for the first time in like decades.
Oh, I know. The Emoji Movie.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's the first one.
Yeah.
Okay. Begin screening films after decade-long ban. They started with that. So I thought that was funny.
I figured that they would start, you know, back a little bit, maybe like Titanic, and then work their way forward.
Nah, well, Emoji Movie.
The classics.
They're big TJ Miller fans in Saudi Arabia.
They like it. Okay. Amazon CEO Jeff Bezos gave away $33 million, which you guys were right is basically like him giving away $20.
But I wasn't turning my nose up at it. I wasn't like making it seem like
right.
I was no
like
big deal. $33 million is still a lot of money to give.
Yeah, exactly. Just $33 million is a drop of the bucket to Bezos, but that bucket he filled it up with definitely appreciates it.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure they do.
Yeah, isn't he making like $10 billion a day or something?
Yeah, he's.
At this point, like just based on like since the start of the year.
Listen,
start
of the year, if I found out that Jeff Bezos cumulatively. Over the year, over his life, gave away $33 million. I would say that's kind of cheap. But, like, to give a one-time $33 million donation that I'm sure is one of many $33 million donations he'll make over the course of time.
Yeah.
It's a lot of money.
That's a good chunk
I
of change.
He'll probably, you know, it's a guy like that, you give away $1 billion in a lifetime. Right?
Oh, is this, I want to add, you might know about this. The, you know, the tax plan, the corporate stuff, corporate tax breaks? All that stuff?
I mean, I've heard about
you know about that.
Yeah,
you know about corporations and taxes.
Yeah, what's your question? I may,
are they,
or may not know the answer.
Are they lowering it? I heard this summer they're like lowering it so because all those corporations have overseas money that they won't bring into the U.S. because they know it'll get taxed so high.
Correct.
And they hold it over there and wait for the tax to get dropped, and then they go, okay, now we'll bring it in.
Yes.
That is the plan.
Like well, yeah, they did plan. Lower the corporate tax rate in hopes of
them bringing that money
motivating
back.
Those companies to bring the business back to America. Yes.
Ah, I figured it out. That's what I thought.
Good job.
Yeah, because it's like they got a bunch of overseas money.
Good job, he says.
So yeah. your question basically was, am I
just,
right?
Am I right? Yeah, essentially, I just want to see if I was
all
right.
Nailed it.
Yeah, they lowered it from, I believe, 35 to 20 or 25.
Mm. So all that money's going to come back into the country. Is that going to like boost
well,
some stuff up?
It's not all of the companies aren't going to be responsible for retroactively paying taxes that they didn't. I think it's a matter of motivating them to bring the business back. So going forward, they'll be paying those taxes. But there are a few companies, like I believe Apple was put on a plan where over the course of the next decade, they will be paying back part of the taxes retroactively that they haven't been paying by hiding money overseas.
Oh, I think Goldman Sachs was one of them, too.
Probably.
So that's, I wonder what all that money's going to do in the economy now.
It's going to go back to the CEOs and the billionaires.
So invest in high-end retail.
Yes, it's going to go into Calvin Klein scarves.
There's going to be a lot of innovations in scarves this year.
Yeah, yeah. Scarves are going to be that. Yeah, invest in scarves.
It's been a cold winter. Invest in scarves.
Have you guys heard of Scarf Coin? It's really hot.
Yeah, I'm going to day trade in scarf money.
Scarf tech. It's Elon Musk's new future. Lithium in scarves.
What else do rich people like? Maseratis.
That's it. Maseratis and scarves. Yep. Nailed it.
That'd be some good investment.
Topless Maserati so your scarf can flap in the wind.
Yeah, I'm just going to invest in what rich people like.
Yeah.
McDonald's.
Well, Trump and Warren Buffett both like McDonald's, so you're not wrong.
Yeah.
Billionaires.
Billionaires, they don't have time to eat. They're too busy making that cash. Elon Musk, what do you think about Elon Musk? Tesla's my, I'm like really obsessed with Tesla.
He is obsessed. He's got a hoodie and everything.
I have a hoodie and everything.
I honestly don't know a lot about Elon Musk, but I feel like from what I've caught peripherally, he seems like a good guy with good intentions, like in terms of at least being interested in advancing technology to benefit the human race.
Right. I think that SpaceX, I guess they're not like a publicly traded company because they're involved in, I don't know. I don't know the whole details.
I like
SpaceX,
that he's willing to put a lot of money behind ideas that are meant to hopefully advance what humans can do.
Yeah.
Like, I think that's cool.
That's how I feel about it. I think it's cool. And the cars look cool. So
yeah,
that's a plus. But I've also talked to some people that like Volkswagen and all these other like, bigger car companies are going to make better electric cars. So who knows?
You think?
I mean, I don't know. I've put like a lot of my money in Tesla, hoping it's going to pay off. But I've heard from a couple people.
I can see Ford probably putting out a good electric
car. I've heard
car.
Volkswagen has good like.
You just said that because you're from Detroit.
The big three, baby. Ford took a dip. Time to buy.
Yeah, I don't know which maker will make the best electric vehicle. I just hope that when they do, they use lithium batteries.
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, yeah.
Amen.
What other batteries are there? Any other batteries, or is it just lithium?
No, I think it's just lithium. I don't know.
Yeah, what's your battery knowledge? Give me all your extensive.
My battery knowledge is not deep. I believe most batteries, if not all, are lithium.
Or lithium. Can I ask what was your best day trade day? Talking money.
No, I don't want to talk about that.
The Ritz.
Tell them your best day trade day.
I made. What, like $32?
Woo-wee.
So that was a good day.
That is cold hard cash.
Bought myself lunch.
Man.
That is really slightly different than my best day trade day.
Wow. You must be a former athlete to be able to take the high stakes.
My best day trade days didn't come at the fund, though. They came independently when I was trading the wheat stocks with my own money in 2014.
Oh, really? The wheat stocks?
Yeah.
Oh.
It's amazing.
I think I have a wheat stock, but I'm not sure if I do or not.
What is it?
Corbis? Pharmaceutical thing?
If it's a weed stock, that's just about medicinal marijuana, like using THC from the weed.
I think it's what it is.
Okay.
That might be it.
He's a nerd. He's all about medical cannabis.
I tried to get a regular weed stock, but I just found that one.
I was telling him earlier, Robinhood doesn't have some of the weed stocks or some shit. Because I was looking at some stocks like on my computer and being like, all right, let me punch them into this app, and they weren't showing up. So I might be dumping Robinhood.
Yeah, you was what, Scottrade?
I used Scottrade. Yeah.
How was that?
Great. I have no problems with it.
You've been using it for a while, too, I would imagine.
Yeah.
Do they take a fee and stuff?
Yeah.
He told me.
It's $7 to execute
a
trade.
Big deal.
$7 to buy, $7 to sell.
Yeah. I feel like we're on your podcast. It's great.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
That's not even a deal. That was a real.
Real like, coming here.
Yeah, mine is actually sponsored by Scottrade. Yeah.
All right. Well, we should probably wrap up soon. You got anything? Got anything going on with your stocks?
Oh, mine? No, nothing. I bought some Bank of America.
He's about to buy in Dick's Cabaret.
Yeah.
Get some Dick's Cabaret.
My gold is climbing. I'm about to unload my gold finally. I had my gold. I was up like $100 on this one gold stock, and I was like, it's the first stock I had do well. So I was like, this is great. I'm gonna keep going. And then I forgot to sell, and it went down. So I waited for that rebound. So.
Oh yeah.
That's about it though. It's been going up slowly.
I'll give you guys a hot tip.
Ooh, hot tip.
And again, pure speculation.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Could be bullshit, but I am paying attention to Vietnam right now. There's an ETF just investing in Vietnam as a country because supposedly they're sitting on oil. And if Vietnam starts becoming an oil exporter, that will help their economy. There's an ETF, ticker VNM, currently trading around $19. That's what, for the next week or two, I'll be watching that chart to see when I want to get in.
Really?
Okay. That's good to know. I appreciate that.
Wait, it's VT. What is it?
VNM.
VNM.
You have to listen back to the podcast.
You have to listen to your own podcast. That's the punishment.
Yeah, you know Jeff listens just to hear his own goddamn voice.
Yeah, it's just, I go to sleep with my headphones.
We cut a separate edition that's for him where it's just his voice. We cut ourselves out of it.
Mm-hmm. Just going, money.
What's today, January 17th?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, January 17th, I'm saying ENRT and VNM. And in a few months, you can listen back and see if I made you all really rich or really poor.
Oh, man.
Hopefully it's about
rich.
But
it's only going to go one of those two ways.
Hopefully,
It ain't going to be a small movement
I'm
either way.
I'm going to put all my money in.
That's how I like to live, though. We're all about making cash on this podcast. So I'm about all in or all out.
We're all going to be calling each other from our car phones.
Yeah. my Lamborghini Countach with those doors, the white one from the Wolf of Wall Street. All right. My goal, AMD, do you know about this? Did you see all the Intel stuff?
No.
Intel shit the bed and it was supposed to make AMD go up and it really didn't.
Oh, because AMD produces the parts?
Yeah.
Yeah, no.
I forgot you said that. I was on a show at Caroline's a couple nights ago and I mentioned I was plugged the podcast and these guys were like, we work for AMD. And I just was like, hey, could you stop fucking around over there, please? fucking my money. They were laughing. I don't know. Hopefully they're listening. That'd be pretty cool. Yeah, I told them to listen. I was like, you should listen.
Get that company stock up.
Yeah, I was like, hey, I'm one of your stockholders. I'm not happy with how you're doing.
Is AMD, are they microprocessors?
Yeah.
See, dude.
I need big processors. Big ones. Macro processors.
Yeah, it's like I know what they do, but I don't know what they do.
Yeah. Well, it's like it's down. I'm like, I don't know why you're failing me, but you are.
Yeah, they're down on me, yeah. I feel like I try to day trade, then I get scared to sell it, and then I hold on too long, and then I lose.
Well, yeah,
and then I'm stuck, and I wait for it to come back.
Okay, I will tell you this. With respect to day trading, you only need to be right one out of every four or five times as long as you know when to cut your losses. Like, if you can recognize when you're wrong and get out of there quickly and then be really right the one time you're right,
you don't
need to shoot a high percentage. As long as your wins are big wins and you know how to eliminate your losses quickly, you only need to get it right one out of every so many times.
I feel like I'm slowly learning. I mean, literally, I know we started this podcast obviously is supposed to be kind of a joke too, but I also do feel like from when we started the podcast to now, I feel like I'm getting the hold of things. I feel like I'm being able to kind of see things. I'm not losing as much money as I was in the beginning.
That's good.
Yeah, so it feels good. So, do you guys have anything you want to wrap up? We'll wrap up. Anything you want to say at the end?
At the end?
Parting words?
Oh, I just need to get better at pulling the trigger.
We talked about this last time. You got to take a little bit of a loss, I think. You can't be afraid to walk away from losing a little bit of money, right? That's got to be...
Yeah.
Lose some, don't lose all.
No one to hold them.
All right.
Scare money, don't make money.
Amen, brother. All right. Do you got anything you want to plug? Plug away if you have anything.
Nah.
No.
He's Noah good. G Comedy. Yeah. Twitter and Instagram.
Cool.
Go ahead and give it a follow.
Yeah.
All right, well, thanks for coming on.
Yeah,
giving us some good information.
Yeah, thanks, man. I appreciate it. Holdmybread@gmail.com. Email us. Thanks for the emails. I appreciate those. Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, all that stuff. Bye.
See ya.
Bye.